party. All right. Okay. All right. Bye, Chestnut. Okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
No, we'll see you later.
See you later.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, Chestnut had to make a quick stop and then he had to leave. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so we're back and we never really... Eugene, right? You fucked this up.
I did. I'd like to make a formal apology to Renee that we skipped over him when talking our favorite
comic. You ended the segment. I don't know how you just did that.
I have that much power, apparently.
You pointed somehow and I said, okay, fine, we're done with part one. So, Renee, what's... like? Do you have a favorite?
I have a few favorites. I think one of my top...
By definition,
yeah.
A favorite is only one.
By definition. By your definition, yes.
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right. I just got placed.
Picking the top one off of my head, I think it would have to be Lock and Key by Joe Hill. IDW published it out. It was really one of the very few non-superhero comic books I read when I got back into comic books. And it was so good because it's a horror comic, but it's very dramatic as well too. The characters are really good. The story is basically about I think it takes place in Maine or somewhere in Maine, and this family moves back to like their ancestors' home after unfortunately the death of their father, and they find out that there's these little keys placed all around the house. And all these keys do certain things. One, use one key to open a door, you go through it, you become a ghost. Another one is a head key, where there's...
you get head?
Yeah.
Dibs.
Dibs on that key.
Where when you hold it, the back of your head places a keyhole. You put it in there, and then you can open your head and take out memories, feelings, and stuff like that. Wow. Another one is called the Omega Key, where you find out what the Omega Key does at the end of the book or the series, which is really good.
Also, it's ended.
Yeah, it's over. It's like a 6 trade series. It came out.
It's like more than that.
Oh, isn't it? It's perfect.
No, 6 trades.
6 trades?
It's 6 trades, okay. Yeah.
Buy something, Philip. Stop borrowing.
It's a 6 trade series. It's really good. Very, the characters, you love all the characters. It follows 3 kids. One teenage boy, his name is a 17-year-old. The daughter is also, I think, 14 or 15, while the son, the little boy, is also, I believe, like 8 years old. And they all deal with like finding these keys and what to do with them and stuff like that.
Are they all connected?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're all connected. Do you know who Joe Hill is?
Yes, he's actually the son of Stephen King.
Stephen King, yeah.
Yeah.
He decided not to use his father's name. Yeah. So it's cool.
Actually, I'd like to make a correction. I do have a favorite comic book.
Shut up. No, it's too late. You already went, dude. Okay. No, you already went. Yeah. Right. No, go ahead. What's your favorite comic book?
It's the Trigun manga. The
that series. Would be a manga.
Yeah, well, it's still a comic.
Okay.
I'll
give it to you. I'll let you have it.
I love the cartoon. I picked the manga, and the manga goes so much more in depth. Like, just the drawings. I mean, they're all black and white.
Like a manga?
Yes, a manga. But, like... I think it's just exceptional. All the characters, all the villains he fights.
Trigun, you said?
Trigun.
Yeah, I've never read that.
I recommend it to read it. It's a Western, space Western.
Yeah. I've watched the anime.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Did you ever see it?
No.
Oh.
Anime is awesome.
The anime is pretty good.
The anime is awesome, but the manga blows that away.
Is it on like Netflix or something?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
It's on Netflix? Trigun?
Yeah. So.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's on it's on Trigun. It's on Netflix, yeah.
And is it like very like... Is it like 7 seasons of 30 episodes each? Or?
No. Like, it's 26 episodes for the first season. That's it. And they have a movie out, too.
Yeah.
So that's just only one season?
Yep.
One season, one movie. Seriously, you need to watch it.
Well, okay.
One of the best series.
I'll put it on my list. I'm almost done with The West Wing on Netflix, so it'll be West Wing followed by Trigun.
Wow.
You watch that before you watch Blue Bloods and go to sleep? You watch
The Hills, followed by The Hills?
Come on, I'm talking about The West Wing. It's a political drama. And you'd be surprised how many of the topics are still topical.
Just watch the news.
Do you also watch The Coach?
Do
you also watch The Coach?
What's the coach? What's
Dahmer
the coach?
Made that show that's happen.
True. Oh, you mean just Coach?
Coach, yeah.
Yeah, man, with what was it, Vance-like? Andy Vance-like? Yeah. all right, so we've already talked about our favorite books. We talked about Killing Joke.
Another topic we had at the bar was our preference when it's coming to buy books.
Yeah,
like everything's changing now. We're switching over to digital now. As avid collectors,
speak for yourself.
As avid collectors, do you guys like that change? Would you guys prefer like move? Would you prefer moving to digital, or would you still?
I'm pretty sure Renee wouldn't prefer moving to digital, well, as how no, his job yeah. is at a bookstore.
I'll just start off with saying something that Stan Lee quoted. He said, "Comic books are like boobs.
Yeah,
they're better when you have them in your hand. Yeah. than seeing them on screen." Been on a computer screen.
I agree. I yeah. love having my books. I love them having them lined up on the shelf. Yeah. I love the fact that I'm going to have to buy another bookshelf yeah. and make a library in my room yeah. of comic books. I love it. And I'm sure most of us here do, right?
Yeah, I don't like being very dependent on any digital anything, especially when it comes to like also like movies or, you know, I won't, like, if it's a movie I like, I won't buy it on like digital download and stuff like that. I want the copy. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Same with video games. Yeah. I love owning my disc, my video games and all mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But we have someone here who is very open to it moving over to digital.
Yes, I am open to it.
Okay, you have to say your first and last name, and then like a 12-step program, we will say, "Hello, Phil."
My name is Phil.
Hi, Phil.
He's all, I'm a digital lover.
I've been struggling for years and years. And trying to...
Look, enough of your sexual addiction. Just go on to comic books.
So Phil mentioned earlier that he was thinking of getting the iPad Pro and swiping across its massive screen to get from one panel to the next.
That's right. To fit.
But no. The accessibility of it really is what appeals to me. I mean, I haven't... I think there's two digital comics that I bought, but I mean, the fact that you can like watch it when you're at work, just kind of like on the sly, or if you really want to zoom in on a panel, you can do things like that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only thing that really draws me to.
Yeah, they have that guided view that almost animates the panels for you. But they also have like Marvel's doing that Marvel Unlimited thing where you pay a monthly $10 fee, like Netflix or whatever, and you have access to their whole library, mm-hmm. everything you want to read. That's intriguing to me. I mean, as somebody, unfortunately, I don't read a lot of Marvel. I just Star Wars stuff is what I read. But if I were reading, you know, a lot more stuff, I'd probably think about it twice. Not yet.
But that destroys, like, going out to buy books. Like, I mean, that's intriguing. Like, if I can keep up issue.
What happened to Barnes & Nobles?
It's gone.
It is gone. It is intriguing. Like, I love collecting trades. I wait for trades. And that's mm-hmm. another issue I guess we'll get into after this.
Yeah, no pun intended.
No pun
intended. Another issue.
But if I were to pay that $10 unlimited and read like as they're coming, there would be no purpose for me to go out and buy the trade when it came out. Because, right. I mean, I would know the story, be like, oh, I'll get to it later. I'm in no rush. But the fact that I don't know the story, I waited months for the next trade, my urgency is like, dude, I want to go read it now. I'm done waiting. And I run over there and buy it. But, I mean, you just have to...
To me, it depends on the story, whether I'm a trade buyer or issue buyer. For example, I trade wait on Saga just because I cannot wait issue to issue on that mm-hmm. on that storyline. It's too hard. Yeah. Their cliffhangers are just heartbreaking sometimes, and you cannot. But I could go volume to volume because usually you get the beginning and end of a story arc. Mm. Everything, I mean... I go through phases too. Like, I was a big trade paperback buyer at the beginning when I got back into comics, just because it was easier to store, easier to read, easier to keep your place. Lately I've been buying a lot of issues, single issues, because it's, once you jump on, it's kind of hard to jump back off, you know what I mean?
It really is. Yeah.
You want to get to the end of that story arc at least, so you end up buying six issues and then you get the next story arc in your box, right? Yeah. And you pull it, so you just, oh, okay, I'll just read this, and then you fall into another story arc.
And I think that's where we differ. I start off as a single collector. Yeah. I collect singles and singles. Like, I love the art. I would find a story arc, and I would go and buy it. I have 1 through 100 Spawn because I fell in love with it.
First print Spawn?
No, that's not going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I came on that bandwagon too late, but when I started reading Spawn, made me want to go back, and I went on a kick on buying the single issues. But it just got too much for me. It got expensive. I have just this massive bottom bookshelf. They're just stacked. Love like 400 or 500 comics. They're just sitting there. And I got turned off by it. Like, now I would rather just wait months until the trade comes out. Like I said, they're easier to manage. They're easier to pick up and read. It seems that it's accessibility. Instead of me carrying 5 issues, if I want to read a whole story arc, I can just grab the one volume.
Sounds like you're more a little more open to digital format too. I mean, everything being online on a single panel screen.
It's interesting, it's but easy. It doesn't it's have there. The same appeal to me as actually holding it like the tangible paper in my hand.
Yeah,
it's not that's not as appealing.
Yeah, just yeah. I have the same argument when I was a trade paperback buyer. I still couldn't get into as much as accessibility is part of that. There's still something to hold. There's still something about holding the physical copy. The art, the page, the translucence of the paper when you hold it up to the light and you can see both sides of the panel, it's something to that. The smell.
I went into an antique store.
Did I get cliche enough?
A little bit. I was waiting for you to say like the essence of the
book. Yeah. The way you can feel the print on your paper and sometimes that you rub it off.
And the thing is, it's no joke. We're laughing about it. No joke. I went to an antique shop yesterday with my girlfriend. And they had a box with just a bunch of old comic books.
You were officially...
whatever.
A boyfriend.
Yes.
You went to an antique shop with your girlfriend.
We were just walking around. And they had a big box of old comic books. Shops. And I was just thumbing through them. And it's been a really long time since I've actually seen a comic book printed on newsprint.
Did you sniff it?
Pretty much. Yeah, like I was just feeling the texture of the old newsprint. Like, it's gorgeous. It's something I can't go back... I can't get away from. Yeah. I love print.
Yeah.
It's just Dan, really sad.
Dan, you haven't chimed in on this yet.
Well, see, I prefer trade, but then I go for individual storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I know, Green Lantern's going to have this epic storyline, I'll wait for it to come out in trade, and I'll just read that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't buy single issues anymore because I'm not following the universe as a whole. I'm not, just following everything as it goes. Even when you buy singles and you're dealing with one character, there's still so much going on where they reference you to different comics, different pages, things that have happened, things that happened somewhere else. I prefer a trade because it brings everything all in one. You know, I'm a fan of that. I like to have everything that you're reading about one time. You know, if you're going to read Killing Joke, you don't want to get like one and one and one. You want to read all of it together. You don't want to have to wait for it. But you also don't want to be bogged down with like background story of what Gordon was eating later on that afternoon.
That's the interesting thing, though, right? About trade, like you said, you mentioned the Killing Joke right now. At the time, it may have been marketed as a breakthrough storyline or a story arc or whatever. But I don't think people thought that. Okay, I'm buying this issue, knowing that this is going to be an amazing story arc. So I think the trade waiting. Wasn't really part.
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. 52.
Yeah.
When 52 started, I did not buy individual issues because I knew that you were going to have to buy entirely too many altogether.
Yeah.
And there's so many characters, so much going on, that if you go back and see how much you had to pay attention to, how many different singles you would have to get together just to get the background story, it's just too much. So if you go and you get the trade, it's like three or four trades together to get the whole thing. Then you have one with all the background story, that's fine. But it's all together. It's like one continuous story. You don't have to read one story about the main story, then the next issue is something completely different.
That's kind of what happened to me with Blackest Night. It's like I got what I thought was the main storyline, and then you find out that you have to buy the Green Lantern one also, and then you have to read alternating issues.
How do you feel about
the
that?
Whole story? That's horrible.
I have the main story of the Civil War. I want to have them all. I want the entire story, but it pissed me off to no avail where I'm reading one part of the Civil War and all of a sudden the next page, Johnny Storm and Sue Storm are jumping out of a building, running away from S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm like,
what the hell happened?
What the fuck happened on the page before? And they're like, oh, you must read Fantastic Four version of the Civil War.
Yeah.
I get it's a huge story arc, and I love the fact that it can't just be. It's not restricted to 100, 200 pages. This continues across X-Men and Wolverine and Fantastic Four and the Avengers.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a universe-changing event. But it's such a pain in the ass where it's like, find out next on Amazing Comics 24. Like, dick, this is like Detective Comics 2. What do you guys feel about that? That they're forcing you to...
It's a marketing move.
Yeah.
You really think it's a marketing move?
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to get you to read other comics to get the full story and get you to buy more.
Like the Death in the Family they did? You have to read Batgirl or Nightwing to get the entire... If you want to get the entire story of Death in the Family.
Yeah, but I think they did a good enough job there where you weren't really missing out on much.
But you're not even use a collector as a you really, it doesn't bug you just a little bit? Like, dude, like, they kind of imply it, but I kind of want to read it firsthand.
To me, if I was reading Batgirl, or if I was reading, I don't know, some other storyline of Death of the Family that wasn't Batman, it probably would have bothered me. But because I was reading Batman, I was getting the meat of the story there.
Okay, like for instance, in Nightfall. Yeah. We've all read it and thumbed through it and all whatever.
No.
There is... Killer Croc has this vendetta against Bane because they've crossed paths before and Bane broke both Killer Croc's arms in the first time they met. They don't show that at all in Nightfall. Did that make you want to go back and like, dude, where in the fuck did this happen? Like, to thumb, to like actually see this for your hand? Like, they tell you in Nightfall, but you didn't want to see it. Like, you wouldn't want to go back and see it like physically in the panels and the pages?
I was okay with that.
Well, isn't that the purpose of the omnibus? Like, it gives you all of that, right?
Yeah, they do. Well, like, Death in the Family, they gave you two books. You had the Death in the Family one, then they gave you like a compilation of the missing issues that were.
Yeah, it was like the rest of the Bat Family dealing with.
Yeah, it's what they did with 52. They gave you four trades with everything, and then an aftermath, and then everything in between. They give you the meat, and then the bones.
Like Avengers vs. X-Men,
the gravy.
They didn't put in different books. They give you like this Bible-sized Avengers versus, yeah. Like, I want to buy that shit. It's like, what, $200 or
yeah, Avengers versus X-Men.
Yes, yeah. It's like this thing.
The whole like crossovers, side stories, everything.
Yeah, but you're paying $200.
Yeah,
$200 unless you buy it here, then it's like 5% off.
10%.
But see,
if you have a pull list.
But see, if you want it,
Under City Comics.
If you want it, it's in one book. But like these other books, it's like, do you want the whole story? You're going to be paying... Still, you're making $200 to get the whole story. I guess
it depends on how much of OCD you have. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean...
Well, how complete do you want the story? Are you willing to like to deal with holes and kind of fill them in? Or do you want them to tell you everything?
Come on. It's a children's show.
We'll fill them in.
Well, for me, like, working at a comic book store, I always tell people, you know, when it comes to big events, big storylines like that, Avengers vs. X-Men being one, you know, they obviously you have the main story. They have part one, or like they called it round one, round two, round three. And I told people, listen, if you're going to read all the tie-ins, if just read the titles that you're reading right now. Don't try to search every single tie-in, because some of them are going to be good and some of them are going to be like bad. Like, they'll say, like, Avengers vs. X-Men tie-in, and it has nothing to do with it at all. It's just going on, what's going on, like, right there. And it's also, because I understand, you know, you want to read everything, you want everything that has to do with it, but some of it's not important, you know? And then Batman, you know, with Death in the Family, I felt like, you know, I could just read Batman, and that'd be it. You know, and obviously, if you guys read Death in the Family, you see that the whole Bat family's there, you know, at the table. I didn't really necessarily have to read all the other titles to understand why they're there, because it's the Joker.
Yeah.
It's the Joker. It's like, okay, obviously he would grab, you know, all the Bat family members and have them there in that table.
It doesn't matter how he did it. Yeah. He knew he was gonna do it anyways.
Yeah. So that's how I felt, you know, with stuff like that. So. There's a guy really projecting himself out there. Yeah. I think he had a few drinks too, so he's all like talking.
Wow. Literally. His nerd's coming out.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't talk about the shit in front of my girl. I can't talk about the shit in front of my girlfriend. She don't understand. You guys understand me.
You guys understand.
You have to buy the trade and then the single issue.
She doesn't understand this. She bends the spine.
And then the comic book.
Yeah. Sorry. But no, I'm sorry. We cut Philip off too, because he's not like an avid collector like us. And we didn't really get his opinion.
Stop saying that.
For the most part, you've read trades though, right?
Yeah, he's read a bunch of Walking Dead.
I'm sorry, I was asking.
Philip. Right before he talks, it's like, yeah.
Come on, Phil.
Yes, primarily trades. So borrow Muffy Jean.
And do you feel like you're getting enough of the story out of it, or do you feel like you're lacking something?
As someone who does not follow comic books and who is still on the fence of whether or not I can get a digital copy or a physical copy, trade paperbacks help, being that they can open a story and close a story.
Yeah.
So I like that.
And I think they're also helpful for somebody who's trying to catch up, right? Because
you
were behind the ball when it came to Walking Dead, right?
Yes.
You didn't get on track until
way after.
Yeah, way after. So you're still catching up.
Just
so you can go out there, read one volume 1 week, get the second volume, read it the next week. It's not like we're, for example, for me with Saga, I'm waiting 6 months, 7 months between trades to get the next volume.
I have no idea how you can do that.
Well, it's a different story arc. So really, it's an end of a story, but you're waiting half a year to get the next story.
When I got back into comics, I did nothing but trade. I bought, I sold, and I went back and traded with other people for their trades, just to get back to see where I was. Because when I left off, it was a crisis on Infinite Earths. So all the way back then till 52, I had to catch up everything in between. There's so many good trades in the middle. And I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But isn't it because you were behind
right. That
the trades were good? Let's say you were following each and every one.
So that's, so that's what happened to me, right? Yeah. So I started off with trades, and I felt I got to a point where, okay, I'm kind of at present time, you know, I've gotten all the stuff that I thought was interesting, I've read. Uh-huh. There's tons of shit out there that I haven't, of course. But at least for DC, for example, I've gotten to a point where I can now jump back into current things. And that's when I started buying single issues. So now I'm month to month on single issues.
Well, I'm with Dan on this issue, though, too. Like, I hate having to wait the next month, like stopping at a cliffhanger or see what happens. I'd rather just wait till it's all collected.
So you'd rather wait 6 months?
Yeah, whatever 6 months, however long it takes, and then sit down and read it all in one go. Yes, there's still a chance of a cliffhanger at the end of that trade. The Walking Dead does it all the time. Mm-hmm. Like they end it on a note, but they also leave it open, and you're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And I do want to, and part of me does want to go and pick up the next issue and see where it left off, but I know that's just going to make my want for the comic worse. Like, I'm going to be like sitting there like month to month. What happens? Like, I'd rather just wait.
Are you willing to delay that gratification of the full story, or do you need to have it right away, you know?
Here's the thing. What keeps me going week to week or month to month, I try to pick up my comics every week, but Renee will attest that I don't. So Batman comes out every month, right? But between that month, I have other stories that I'm getting that itch scratched for, right? Not everything comes out once a month. I mean, not every story comes out once a month. I'm not saying this the right way. Yeah. Every story comes out once a month, but not every story comes out once a month on the same week of every month.
There you go.
So those other weeks have other stories and other itches that are being scratched.
So are you fulfilling the need for one comic with other comics?
I am, absolutely. That's why I found myself, when I originally started, I had, I think, 2 or 3 comics on my pull list, and now I have 15, you know? So,
what did your wife feel about that?
Let's not talk about that. Melanie, I love you.
How's that child's college fund coming?
He's got 3 Batman, 2 Daredevil.
Hey, did the kick ass. That father funded his whole crime fighting off of comic books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about that. Anybody else want to chime in?
Well, I figured this is going to mean it's just going to take us a bit. We have to decide on a book for next month.
Okay.
And we have to come to terms with it by the end of this podcast.
And Chestnut doesn't want it to be DC.
He doesn't want to go mainstream.
Okay.
And he figures
DC. Well, is Image still considered mainstream? Could it be considered mainstream now?
I think now it is.
Image?
Image, yeah.
I figured it came less mainstream. I remember when it was huge.
It's less mainstream than DC and Marvel, but it's becoming the top 3 now, and not the top 2 anymore.
Yeah, because now they have multiple stories that are just selling out. I mean, you got Witches, East of West, Walking Dead now, Deadly Class.
Saga.
You know.
Well, I figured Dark Horse would be up there too, but that's not considered mainstream.
Dark Horse is not mainstream.
But they're
neither is Vertigo.
But they're some of the biggest names out there too.
Mm-hmm. So let's dive in. When
does a company not become mainstream?
It's a whole other. I'm not going to go into corporate.
Okay, fine. Never mind. Okay.
I think it has something to do with book sales, first of all. But anyways, regardless, I think we should include Image to make things easier.
Well, should we limit ourselves to publishers or characters or to storylines? You know, like what? Where do you want to draw the line?
I think it has to be publishers.
I mean, obviously he doesn't want to do DC, right?
I don't think the problem with DC. I just think his issue is that if we stick with DC, we're going to keep remembering how many good stories are DC, and we'll just eventually never gravitate from DC. He wants to gravitate into... There are other stories. Like, he's like, there are other stories that are like Dark Horse and all that. And so, that I agree with. If we, like you said, like, we did the Killing Joke, I can think of a bunch of other Batman things I can shoot out, like Arkham Asylum, and it'll snowball, and we'll just stick in DC.
Yeah.
So
let's
try another
publisher. Let's venture out of our comfort zone. That's fine. Any recommendations? Anything you guys have read that you guys would want to discuss?
Well, we want something completed, right? Not something that's ongoing.
I think it would help if it was completed, unless we want to do like a two-parter.
Now, how big a series are we looking? I know a couple series. Like I said, Rising Stars, I've been trying to get you guys to read. It's a bigger series, but it ends.
Yeah.
And I think you guys
But is it something we could read before the next podcast, which we're hoping will be in a month instead of 3 months?
I definitely. But also interested in Top 10 that you guys mentioned. Because I've never heard of it, and I'm open to looking into that.
Top 10 was Image, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. We're including Image. Yeah. But remember, there's a lot of standalone stories out there. A lot. I mean, if you just think about... Grant Morrison, Alan Moore, all the big writers have ventured outside of DC to write for Image, for Vertigo.
I've always been interested in V for Vendetta. I've never read it.
I've never read V for Vendetta
either. It's always been on my list to pick up.
Yeah.
And that's my collection.
Yeah, it definitely is completely different than from the movie. The original, graphic novel.
Imagine the Chestnut sitting in here, which he's supposed to be here in 5 minutes, but imagine he's sitting in here now. What would he say to V for Vendetta?
I couldn't tell you.
I think he'd...
Not be okay with it?
I think he'd totally foo-foo it.
It's not DC and it's not Marvel.
No, but it's such a well-known character. I think he wants us to explore...
I think he wants us to really get out of our comfort zone.
Actually, like, if we have our listeners, get them to branch out too as well, away from Batman, away from something they don't get. Like, V for Vendetta, everyone knows it by the movie. You know, but like if we were to pull out a character that no one's like heard of, that might open up to more.
But if it's so different from the movie, then wouldn't it be worth exploring?
I think so too. But I mean, let's put it on the list.
Short list.
I'd like to read V for Vendetta.
Okay.
Watchmen's a good read if you guys no one's read it yet.
That's true.
It's
very.
It's almost literary instead of comic book. I mean,
I think anything that's been made into a movie though is something that we should probably stray away from.
Okay.
Right. That makes sense.
I just think that Chestnut's trying to get
Okay, let's not get off Chestnut. Let's not point the finger at Chestnut.
I'm not pointing. No, but I think he's making a good
Chestnut.
Point. I think
calling you out.
I think he's making a good point. I think we got to try to widen our...
But I'm also siding with Dan, too, on this, too, is that even if it became made a movie, wouldn't we like to see what the difference is, you know? Like, I mean, as far as we know, all he knows of the movie... I mean...
Yeah, but I think we should try to make a decent effort to try to...
You said Lock and Key was 6 trades.
Right? No,
six
I'm, not trades. Doing, I'm not doing Lock and Key. Too much money right now, man.
Lock and Key would be really interesting to do, though, just to see how much of how much influence his father had and all of that.
Well, how about this?
If it's a familial story, like, that would be interesting.
How about we do Lock and Key, but we do one trade per month?
Because then you're stuck with that for 6 months.
You have a problem with that? He, as much as he sold me on it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but then it becomes a Lock and Key podcast. You know
because
what I mean?
It becomes a six-parter. You think we're not there yet?
I don't think we're there yet. I think we're gonna lose.
Okay.
Interest.
Okay. All right. So let's put that on the list too. Then
nothing personal.
No. It's not.
We could do on our own is get the book once a month and read it, and then at the end of 6 months, we could discuss it in one giant podcast.
You want to do something interesting? Let's do Lock and Key. Everybody reads one different trade.
And then what?
And then you come in. Well, because you're going to come in with an interpretation of only 1/6 of it.
I'm sorry. That's not going
to happen. Does it hold up?
You know what's
going to happen? You have to read
it. Okay, Dan. You have to read it all.
Yeah, you have to read it.
You know as much as I know. We're going to read our one trade and run right out there.
That's their problem, not ours.
No, I'm just going to go, hey, Gene, have a trade one? All right, got it.
All right. Although, like I said, I chose Rising Stars. It's it's a bit of a read, but it's no, it's shorter than Nightfall.
Okay.
Also open the top 10.
It's too long. Fables.
Fables is huge. Right? You can read Fables Volume 1 and just read it on its own. Yeah. Because it's self-contained. It's a self-contained story. You're reading Fables 2 to see what the characters are going to happen next.
Right.
Yeah.
See, because I read Jack of Fables.
Yeah.
Which was amazing.
Jack of Fables is really good.
But then I just recently found out they ended it.
Yeah.
That'd be worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could do Volume 1s of stories that...
And discuss if they're worth continuing?
Worth continuing.
Mm, that's another good one.
There's a ton of stuff that I've been wanting to read. I actually have a list here of Image Comics.
Well, if we're going to do that, I guess he really sold me a Lock and Key.
Okay, listen, I get it. You want to read Lock and Key.
I do.
Nobody's stopping you.
He made it sound really good.
I'm just going to name a few off here. Saga. Sex Criminals.
Oh, good one.
Southern Bastards.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Deadly Class.
Oh, that's another good one.
Someone's going to come.
Fear Agent.
Oh, no. Let down.
Stop it, Martin.
Black Science. Morning Glories.
Day Tripper.
Day Tripper. Which one's that one?
Essex County.
I don't know that one.
Essex County?
And Eugene, you mentioned earlier The Fifth Beetle.
The Fifth Beetle was always something I always wanted to read. I always heard really good things about it.
Oh, that's a Dark Horse, isn't it?
That is a Dark Horse, yeah.
So anyways, I think those... I know that the volumes of the volume ones of those are really good. The only one I haven't read, also Manhattan Projects, which I know Chestnut actually picked up a couple of times ago when we went to that store that I'm not going to mention because we're at another establishment.
That's fine.
A book I started picking up, I've always for ages wanted to start, and I just found the first volume when they reprinted them was Preacher.
Oh, Preacher. Yeah, I've wanted to read Preacher.
I've been sitting down, every time I sit down to read it, I always got something I have to do, and it kills me. Kills me every way I have to pull. I haven't even finished the first volume, and I get killed every time I get pulled away from that book.
You want me to get Dave in here for the next podcast? I have a good list. Yeah. Dan just showed me a picture of what's considered the number one comic book of all time, Mouse, which is about...
It's
about Nazis and...
I've seen it, never read it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you have read it?
Yeah, we were in the same class.
There's two parts of
we
it.
We were?
Yes.
I read that?
Yes.
I didn't read that.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, you borrowed my copy.
Can I borrow it again?
Mine?
Obviously, it wasn't that memorable.
Oh, no, man, it's good.
I probably read it, but I was in college. Martin's I did a lot of stuff in Martin's college, I don't remember.
Martin's just cold-blooded to the Holocaust.
That's not true, man. Stop spreading that rumor. It's not true.
Why don't you remember it then? Why was it so easy?
I got some other ones. I got some other ones right here that I want to name off real quick. There's a self-contained Hellboy story that I hear is really good called Midnight Circus. Have you read that?
No, actually.
Yeah, I heard that's really good. There's also... I've heard very good things about the United States of Murder, Inc. And then if you want to get Dave in here...
What's that about? The UP franchise?
I don't know, but it's written by Brian Michael Bendis, and it's kind of got the same flavor as Powers, I hear.
Okay.
If you want to get Dave in here for the next podcast, as opposed to him quitting last minute, like he did a couple of days ago, or today. No, today! Serenity Leaves on the Wind.
Yes.
Should be really good.
Yes, that's really good.
And then I heard there's this heartbreaking comic book that'll leave you crying, I'm sure, Eugene. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Dan. Maybe Phil. I know I'm going to cry. It's called Russian Olive to Red King. I haven't been able to find it anywhere. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's supposed to be really good. I don't know what it's about. It's a love story, but it's supposed to be really, really fucking good.
Okay.
That's by Imanen, the publisher, I think. Is it Imanen, or maybe that's the author. I'm not sure. Anyways, that's my input. Anybody else got anything?
Dan pulled me. I mean, I'm looking at Dan thumbing through his, and Metropolitan was the one.
Oh, I have that at home, actually.
I've always wanted to read.
Yeah, I have volume 1 and 2 at home. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
What I've never read, and I've always heard great things about, Sandman.
Sandman's amazing.
Well,
but it's intense. It's like...
right up Eugene's alley.
Sandman, it's something you like, you can't just take a break from. Like, oh, if you read it, it's you have to like continue it because.
Did you pick up the new,
the prelude?
Oh yeah, Sandman Overture.
Overture. I have not picked up Overture yet.
It comes out like
every 7 months.
Yeah, that's how it yeah, seems see, like.
And that's my problem. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm just rather wait for it to be.
We're talking about issues here, not volumes. Gaiman is completely late on that.
You can subscribe here for 10% off the top.
Seriously, it's called a pull list because they pull it off the wall for you.
We do that.
And where and who is we?
Me.
Trying to give you a plug, man.
Undercity Comics in Whittier, Uptown Whittier, on Philadelphia and Greenleaf. 12920
Philadelphia Street, Whittier, California.
Say that again.
12920 Philadelphia Street, Whittier, California.
Yeah. And they also have a great podcast studio in the back.
Mm-hmm. They do. Very, very satisfied with this service.
I will tell my friends about it on Facebook.
Ask me how.
Twitter this right now.
So what do you want to do? You want to do one volume of each? Everybody does one volume of each different?
Maybe we could do that. Everyone picks one volume. We all discuss a volume each.
I like the idea of us reading the first volume of a series if we're interested in it.
Okay.
And then if we're, obviously if you're interested, our listeners are interested, maybe we can sell, yes, we can sell them on maybe checking it out. Okay. Maybe it's worth their time.
And so, Wolverine. Somebody's buying a Wolverine statue. Oh, it's the loud guy from early.
We just want to.
They can hear you.
Oh, okay.
It's okay.
We're not whispering.
Oh, okay.
I think that'd be great. I think we should do something like that. You know, keep it. If we have more than one storyline, it's going to be less in depth. But it'll be more diverse for sure.
Okay, so let's talk that through then. I've thrown a couple out there. Anybody else got any ideas?
Lock and Key.
Lock and Key's interested me since I first heard it was coming out.
My
just
brother,
because it was you know what it was going to be.
My brother swore by it too, and I just never got around to reading it. And then here comes Renee and makes that thing sound like butter.
Phil, Lock and Key.
You have to buy your own copy. From here,
I'm pretty sure Phil has ways to get it online for free. That's what you did with The Killing Joke, right?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's an insult, that's an insult to the writers and to the artist, Philip.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Proof, bitches.
But you're Chinese, so you're not afraid to do the bootleg. I'm joking.
Race.
Dang. I love China. I love Chinese people, though, by the way, for our listeners.
That's race itself.
I have a friend who's Chinese.
My views in no way...
That doesn't misses that.
My views in no way go with Uptown the comic book shop here.
So wait, let's talk about the next show. You are going to be in Taiwan, Phil?
Four countries.
Oh, well, whatever.
if it falls on the last week of... December, I mean, November, I think we'll be fine.
If it falls on?
Yeah, the last week of November.
That's when we'll be back.
Yeah, but this is September, so we're trying to do this monthly, so we're talking about October now.
Oh, well, if it's the middle of October, it's fine.
Middle?
Yeah.
When do you leave?
Late October, the
28th. Okay, so it could be early to mid-October.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's aim for mid-October.
Well, what are we deciding on to read?
Okay.
Well, since it's going to be October, you might as well do Lock and Key. It's a horror comic, essentially.
Sold!
Okay. All right. I'm gonna go ahead and vote for that as well. Dan, you have anything else?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Let's do that.
Lock and Key?
I'm good with Lock and Key.
Where's Gabble?
He's so excited right now.
We'll run it by Chestnut.
Chestnut?
And if he doesn't want to, too bad.
Why don't you try calling Chestnut? Can you call Chestnut real quick?
He's probably out drinking.
Really?
We could do a call-in.
That's why he missed the podcast?
That's why he's been 5 minutes late for the past 3 hours.
Jesus Christ.
We could do a call-in.
Ooh, can we do a call-in?
I have.
Let's do a call-in.
Let's call.
Someone call him right now.
Let's call Chestnut. 323.
Don't say the number.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yes. Just hand it over.
Plug it in right there.
Oh, he's plugged it in.
Plug it in.
Hey! Now we're like a real morning show.
And the weather.
And
did he answer?
We're sorry.
What?
Disconnected.
Old number.
Obviously, someone's blocked from Chestnut.
Probably because he was afraid they were going to call him. And...
Or he just didn't renew his phone bill.
He did.
Who do we want to call somebody else?
No, I have to. Here we go. Here. Just hit the mobile one.
Where do I plug
in the top?
Okay.
All right, that was my fault.
We're calling the Matrix, obviously. we're rerouting through the Matrix.
Why is it doing?
But did you push it all the way in?
Yeah, did you push it all the way in?
Yeah, it's all the way in, baby.
Are you sure? You want someone to push it all the way in for you?
Oh, man.
Hey, it's not working. That's weird.
Wait, but I think the phone call has started. Can you hear us, Chestnut?
Yeah, it's
Oh no,
it's voicemail.
No, it's I don't know how to work your freaking.
And the big red button says end.
Big red button.
Oh, Chestnut's call. Oh no, it ended. Right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll assume that Chestnut's probably okay with that. But we'll ask him anyways.
The fuck's on your hair, dude? It's like there's all this shit's on my phone now.
You try holding a ham sandwich in your pocket and see what happens.
Before we go, Spunk Spork and the Upright Capes has an email if you'd like to contact us. SpunkSporkandTheUprightCapes@gmail.com. It's the longest email address you'll probably ever type.
If there's any books you would like us to review.
Yeah. And we also have a Twitter account. It's SpunkSporkUC. Anybody else want to give their... Dan's phone number is...
1-800-GOOD-TIME.
And also... Philip's dating site.
What?
He is very single.
Yeah.
What? No, no.
Very attractive.
Well.
If you like his radio voice.
I don't think he's attractive.
He's cute.
You are married, so.
And he's clean.
I'm just not into Asians.
Balls to be clean.
So, thank you guys for joining us. Next time, we'll hope that... Oh, look! Chestnut just walked in. Sorry, bro. We're done.